It's showtime on this Friday morning. No, it's not Chasing Big Joe. It's Four's Company today. Chasing Big Joe will be out at the Grove Golf Course for the LIV Golf Tournament from 3 to 6. So you've got us for the next 3 hours, 9 to noon. Jake Lyman in studio with Nick Kieser, Mr. Frazier, and Connor Newt is back behind the glass running the show. Gentlemen, how are we on this Friday morning?
I mean, I just literally went from Robbie and Rex Road to our own program with no break in between, so I'm just vibing, man. I'm having a great time this morning.
Welcome to a Monday through Friday for me.
I know. From show it's been great. Frazier's been doing great this week. You've done great this week, too, Jake. Thank you for filling in and so many, crazy areas, honestly.
It's been fun. I had Teron Davenport for Stillman Company yesterday.
Yep, and, that sounded great.
6 hours of TD. You can cover about everything with the Titans with TD in about 6 hours. We learned that over the last 2 days.
Indeed. I mean, hey, not enough Titans.
Can never have enough Titans.
Never.
We'll talk some Titans coming up in hour number two of the program. We're going to talk some Preds coming up here in the first hour, along with Newt's notes. And then we'll also get to some things around the rest of sports. NSC, we'll talk about the NBA coaching hires, and then, of course, Stanley Cup Game 6 tonight in Edmonton between the Oilers and the Panthers.
It's going to be raucous up there, by the way.
I know.
It's going to be insane.
Canada. We were talking with Ian yesterday, 31 years since Canada's had a cup.
They are
going to be rocking up there. Before we get to our question of the day, Connor, nutrition, anything this morning?
What you got for nutrition?
We really got to get that going, that imaging.
We're trying.
Yeah, man, Honey Nut Cheerios again, but banana in it. It was pretty good. I'd say healthy, but like.
Put a little cinnamon in there?
No, I just had it normally.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's pretty good.
Love it.
With the milk in there, not separate.
No. We said this last week. What kind of animal eats cereal without milk?
Just making sure. Didn't know if you made an audible. Just making sure.
No. There's no audibles being called today.
Okay.
All right. There's nutrition. I don't know if we need to do the imaging. I like that Frazier does it live every show.
What you got for nutrition? Boop.
All right. Well, let's get into our question of the day. You can get involved as well on our text line or our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, if you want to chat with us about our question of the day or anything else. Our question of the day today, it's vacation season around here. Jared on vacation this week. D-Mace on vacation this week. Nick Frazier, I know you're about to go on vacation.
Yes, I will be gone tomorrow through next Saturday, I believe. So it's going to be a long, long little vacation for me.
So our question is, what's your dream vacation spot? Where would you want to go? Money is no object here.
Oh, boy.
Walk us through. How about, Frazier, you go first, because you've got family across the seas, too. So
walk us
through your trip coming up, but then your destination as well.
Yeah. No, I'll be headed down to the Panhandle and going to the beach for a little bit. Probably going to maybe see some alligators and sharks while I'm down there because of all the craziness going on. But, staying safe as you know, days go on. If my dream probably vacation would be somewhere in Italy, somewhere to hang out with some family that I've only met twice in my lifetime. But it's either Australia to go catch a rugby game. As you guys know, I love Australian rugby, but probably somewhere in Italy. Yeah, I'd probably say maybe in Sicily on one of those little type of islands down there, or maybe Sardinia. It's,
some place where they make their own Parmesan.
I mean, that's only in Parma, Italy. I mean, that's the wheel of cheese there. But no, I think anywhere in Italy is great to visit. It's always good to have family in that country as well. So, I mean, that's where my roots are from. And, that's a fun place to go visit if you ever get the chance to. I mean, if money's no object, stay there for a month and you'll start learning the language and get immersed into the small little neighborhoods and stuff like that. It's a blast. I can't tell you what's not great about it. I mean, just get some gelato every day. Wake up, get a nice espresso or affogato, one or the other. It's unbelievable.
That sounds lovely.
I will say, the number one rule, get a cappuccino. If you get it past 11 a.m., people will look at you in disgust.
So really? Why?
It's a morning thing. Cappuccinos are a morning thing.
Okay.
Never, good.
Yeah.
Keep it like that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how it should be.
Mm. Thank you.
They start drinking after 11 a.m.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is true.
Interesting.
That's why you got so many fast drivers. That's why F1's massive over there, probably. they all get the caffeine in them. I'm like, yeah, no thanks.
Yeah, we're talking vacation destination, 615-737-1025. Let us know what your vacation destination is. Me, look, I was on a great trip for our honeymoon recently. I think a different spot I would want to go to would probably be Switzerland. Switzerland is a unique spot. It's beautiful. I mean, some spots would probably be similar to where I went in Canada. You know, they got Toblerone. That's the origin of that as well. I would like to get some over there just because it's very touristy thing for me just to say. I would say also to Switzerland, I want to go hiking too. Honestly, guys, I like going and doing trails. I like going and getting to know just the culture and the scene of what that might look like. And I was jealous when the Predators went over there for the beginning of their season 2 years ago. Roman Josi got to play against his hometown pro team. And then also Nino Niederreiter, when he was here, his grandparents got to see him play in the NHL for the first time too. But they have a really cool hockey scene over there too. So I'd want to go check all that out. So Switzerland, it would be my pick for various reasons. Jake, how about you?
It's tough. It's a tough one. I'm a big tropical vacation guy. Like, I think that would be, in general, that's what I would prefer, like Caribbean, something like that. But I think dream vacation, like, again, if money is no object, I think I'd go Australia. I think that's
yes, sir.
Go see some NRL.
Yes.
That's my dream.
I'll
to go see the Brisbane Broncos.
Got the name right. Look at that.
He did.
Yeah, no more ballyhoos.
No more ballyhoos. Because I'm going to Australia now in my mind.
What was the one you said the other day that we thought was awesome?
Oh, the Manly Sea Eagles.
The Manly Sea Eagles.
Yeah, the Manly Sea Eagles.
They're great, man. How about those Sea Eagles?
No, I
love the Sea Eagles.
Australia just seems like, it seems like everybody's happy there. And I know that's probably not true. It just seems like a place, like, it's like America, but without all the problems.
Yeah. That's Canada. Actually,
well, I will say there's something about,
sorry, Keezer,
something about just the TV. Just watching the Australian rugby, they love their KFC and McDonald's. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something in the chicken or something in the burgers, but everybody's
kangaroo
happy.
Meat.
It does seem like a place where just there are no problems in Australia, and I know that's not true, but it just feels like it.
Everybody lives on the coast.
I feel like everything would be living like that Sidney Sweeney, Glenn Powell movie, the Anyone But You, like going on yachts and going to the beach and all that stuff.
That,
like,
movie came out recently, right?
That was like, 6 months ago or something.
Yeah, about that time.
I'll put that on my next movie watch list.
It's pretty good. It's like a not a remake, but like they go off of Much Ado About Nothing, the William Shakespeare. So it's like the same kind of plot, but a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
It's good. It's
spoken like a man who got dragged to that theater by his girlfriend.
Dragged is
you were the one dragging.
Dragged is a word. Connor, what's your vacation dream vacation spot?
You know, man, I'm a big roller coaster guy. I love the thrill rides. So take me to Japan. They got some big stuff over there. You know, they got, I guess, the better version of Disney. They got bigger stuff over there, and plus, like, I think the environment is just cool. Super crowded, yeah, but like, I would love to see their culture, and you know, they got some weird stuff over there.
Do you like sushi?
Yeah, I like sushi.
Yeah, that, I mean, I've had some of theirs. I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah, I'm not a huge, like, how do I say this?
Are you not big on seafood?
I like seafood. No, okay. I like fish and stuff,
not
like
raw
that.
Fish.
Yeah, I don't like raw fish. You'll be all right.
Okay.
You'll get used to it.
But, you know, like, I have a hard time eating new foods. Like, I love Mexican. I love Italian. I'm not huge on Chinese, Japanese food, aside from sushi. I like, and egg rolls. But, like,
hibachi, probably, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, I have a hard time adjusting. I don't want to say adjusting. What's
adapting?
Adapting to new cultural foods, I guess.
Opening up your palate.
Opening, yeah. Broadening my horizons, we'll
say.
There
you go.
So, yeah. I would love to go to Japan just for the rides, man. But, like, that would be a trip, too.
When he said roller coaster, I was like, oh, Dollywood?
Yeah.
Like, what's going up the street here?
Nashville Shores.
Going to Busch Gardens, Williamsburg.
Hey, you know what? Someone did say they wanted to go to Nashville Shores with me on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
That was your honeymoon, right?
No, D.N. Johnson. I'd love to go to the Nashville Shores with Nick Keezer.
No.
D.N. Johnson is not who you think it is.
I'm good.
I think I know who it is.
I've fallen for that already with
I
a
think
certain
I know who it
field
is.
In Yeah. Appalachia.
I think it's someone that might have taken out with a golf course yesterday and had a nice time and almost wrecked our set.
We don't know for sure, though.
No, we don't know.
We don't know.
We won't confirmed. We won't expose anybody, but yeah.
I think so. I got exposed on the Chase and Big Joe show last week.
Really?
Yes.
I don't recall
I was
this.
Sitting in the studio with Frazier, and I don't care to mention it. I shot something in the text line to add to their conversation, and then I hear Chase go, "Wait a second. That's Keezer." And I was like, how? Because my number has been saved as something else in there. I didn't change it. I've gone in there and checked it before. So,
you know, I think Chase has photographic memory. I think that's what it is.
Sheldon.
I don't know about that.
Yep, there you go.
Yep. Sheldon. Yep. Really? My mom's number is in there, too. We can text her.
Oh, yes, she has before. That's right. Yeah.
Well, I will say Nashville Shores, a nice place to go.
Never been, actually.
Really?
Lived here my whole life. Never been to Nashville Shores.
Not missing much.
You know what? We'll take you one day.
Not missing very
much. I haven't
you know, I'm
lived
good.
Here my whole life, and I've never been there either. So
field trip, Nashville Shores.
Force Company field trip. Yeah. That's our dream vacation as a show.
I think as a show, too. And to add on the Frasier, someone let us know that Morocco for F1 would be really fun.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That is on the bucket list, is to see an F1 race. That would be awesome.
We could all bet on the race and
just
hang out.
Just more the experience. My cousin in Italy, he told me once he had a friend of his that – I guess, patented a part for one of the, I guess, I think might have been for Ferrari or something.
Okay.
And he gets, like, exclusive access to all the F1 races.
You know what I want to experience? Cool. Hot take here. I want to experience Vegas with Chase McCabe and Rick Merritt. I want to do it so bad. And I've asked him every time he's brought it up. I'm like, can you take me? And he's like, are you 21? I'm like, no. He's like, then you're not experiencing Vegas.
Yeah. It was cool. They were on my plane flight, actually. It was
cool.
It was awesome. It was a blast.
I went to Vegas. I've been to Vegas twice. I went when I was 20, and I agree. It's cool to see. Like, the Strip is definitely very – there's just so much going on, and it is cool. But going back when you're 21, I think, is smarter. So you give it 11 more months.
Chase and Rick are the type of people to clap when the plane lands.
They're a fun bunch, man.
I love those guys.
I haven't really got to hang out with them as like a full immersed weekend or whatever. I didn't hang out with them in Vegas, but they were on plane flight. They were great. They were a blast, man.
So for our Nashville natives, this is a good one. Wes in Clarksville mentions a great one that I totally forgot about. Are we not going to remember Opryland USA themed park?
Wes,
that was awesome.
Before my time.
It was before my time too. Unfortunately.
I mean, do remember that vaguely. That was a really cool atmosphere.
I will say, like, Opryland, if it was still around, it would be an absolute hit. Just from what I've been told, never experienced
But
it,
I'd like to know, Wes, where do you want to go? Like, this is like broaden horizon trip. Like, you could go anywhere.
He just told you.
Destination, really? You want to spend thousands of dollars
Time
there?
Travel is coming.
I just want to roll right down Riley Parkway.
I guess
right
so,
to
man.
Opryland.
Yeah, why not?
I was at Opryland not too long ago. I got me a box of moon pies while I was there.
Wow.
Man.
That's what you settled on?
I mean, yeah. Have you never had a moon pie before?
No, I like moon pies.
They're unbelievable.
Yeah. Hey, put them in the microwave for about 10 seconds, 10, 15. I mean, because they'll get marshmallowy and like blow up.
Well, see, as I was on my way out of Opryland, I was like, you know what? I see a box of moon pies. I paid like $4 for them, had like 12 of them in there, walked out, was eating like 4 or 5 of them. Like, I'm not doing this again. But, you know, that's how we started morning, moon pies.
Hey, Robert's Western World, go get yourself the Recession Special. Fried bologna sandwich, bag of chips.
You ever had a fried bologna sandwich?
Moon pie? Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude. We're going to talk about food another day.
Well,
I'm sorry. You caught
that
me down
a rabbit hole. That can be a different question of the day. But again, if you want to let us know your dream vacation spot, that's our question of the day here on Force Company. 615-737-1025. Text or call. Our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Again, Force Company with you from 9 to noon. If you're missing the People Show, Chase and Big Joe, they will be on the air 3 to 6 out at the Grove Golf Course covering the LIV Golf Tournament. So look forward to that. They'll be in the Stillman & Company slot today from 3 to 6. When we come back here on Force Company, we're going to get into some Preds. 1 week from today, the NHL draft starts in Las Vegas. crazy to think we have a game six in Edmonton tonight, and we are a week away from the offseason getting into full swing. So we're going to talk a little bit of Preds, what they could be looking at in the goalie situation, as well as some offseason plans for Barry Trotz. That's up next. Force Company with you here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
It's a big step. You know, you can go around and around. Is it the best thing for him to come up and be the backup? Yes. Is it the best thing for him to play games and not sit on the bench? And yes, like you can go, but we're, as an organization and as a player, you want the best for him. What's the long-term plan for him? What's going to be best for him? So those are always our discussions every single day. And it's ongoing, and we'll see where it goes.
That was Predators Assistant General Manager Scott Nichols talking about the future of Yaroslav Askarov, talking with Willie Donick and Hal Gill the other day. Jake Lyman, Nick Heiser, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Force Company with you from 9 to noon here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Talking some Preds for the next couple of segments, and interesting comments there from Scott Nichols, and I think he kind of says exactly what we've all been thinking about Yaroslav Askarov, that, hey, is the best move for him to come up and get the reps as the backup and learn from UC Saros? Yeah, maybe. Or is the best thing for him to continue to get consistent playing time down in Milwaukee? Maybe. It's just a matter of where they think he is at the end of this offseason.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the biggest test for him is going to be when they feel like they can start giving him more of those games. So what do you ultimately decide this offseason if you're Nashville? I lean more on the idea of spending more time in Milwaukee. It does sound to me as if they'll have a pretty similar roster as they did. So you could imagine having Troy back. Nothing's concrete with anybody, really, because the closer we get to July 1st, which is obviously coming up within the next week or so, you know, agents and teams will start talking. So all of the RFAs that the Predators have, pretty much all of the unrestricted free agents as well for the Predators, will not have much to really decide on until closer to that date. So that's something to keep an eye on as well. So that's generically speaking for all of them. But I'm very curious to see if they end up thinking to themselves this offseason, especially with Mitch Korn back as a guy that historically knows what it takes to make it to the next level. You know, how does that impact, I mean, not even, I would say, Askarov, but also Saros' game plan here as well. So that could dramatically change a lot, guys.
Yeah, I mean, like that clip there from Scott Nichols and also Nick Sentiment about, you know, just developing the young guys and the fact that, you know, maybe if you have an Askarov be the backup. You know, I've been preaching this for like the last month and a half. You have a good group of core guys in Milwaukee. Just keep developing them. I mean, Nick, you might know this more than I would, but when it comes to the free agent market for goaltending, like as in backups, you know, you don't really have the cream of the crop to really choose from. But at the same time, you have a guy like Mitch Korn who can help develop a, I guess, transition backup goaltender. For the time being. Would you rather go that route, in my opinion, and then have Askarov? Because you're saying, like, have Askarov, you know, develop more with Milwaukee, get more reps. I mean, would that be the better route? Because the Preds have some money to spend. I mean, might as well just get a transitional backup
well,
for the
time
could. Being.
Yeah, that's something they could look more into. Look, I think more of that would be a conversation if they had already traded Saros, more than likely, if they had already said, hey, you know. And we obviously saw that domino fall already, by the way, where Jacob Markstrom got traded to the Devils. And then you also saw a goalie trade on the other side of things, too.
Darcy Kuemper.
With Darcy Kuemper. That's right. So I'm very interested to see what the market's going to continue to look like. Now, both of those goalies are 34 years old, so that's not indicative of what Nashville's going to do.
Right.
Could they easily – I mean, this has been – I think it's just easily to agree upon, and this has been across a couple of different shows that I've listened to. It's easy to pick up a guy like Kevin Lankinen. Like, he's $2.5 million, something like that. I mean, UC Saros is still getting his pay at some point, but it's going to be easier for the Predators to look down the pipeline and just pick up one goalie, probably.
Would you say that door's not fully shut with Kevin Lankinen, or is it kind of?
I don't think it's fully closed. I mean, look, it's like I said a few weeks, like a few weeks back, which is true, it's likely he's going to find his next venture in free agency.
Right.
Kevin wants more playing time. He's not going to get that here in Nashville. That's pretty out there. That it's not going to happen unless they end up going to him and saying, no, the workload's going to change.
I'm Fox 17.
So I'm not exactly sure. Thanks, Greg Bobas.
Appreciate it.
But look, I just don't envision Kevin coming back because of the workload. I don't. So it's going to have to be a goalie that's okay with minimally playing 25 games, possibly.
Wow.
So I don't know if it's going to be a goalie that is already established in the league. Could Laurent Brossoit be an option? Is that someone that you would go to? Because, like, playing in Winnipeg and Vegas, he definitely played enough to where he was reliable. But does Nashville go, okay, maybe we could just throw Kevin a bone here late and see if they end up biting? It's more than what he's, you know, getting. Because the cap's gone up, so
right.
Could they just overpay Lincoln in for a season? Could it be $3.5 million? I mean, I would take it if I were him, honestly. So,
and I think that would probably be the best solution for the Preds, is to get a backup you feel good about for one more year, let Askarov go be the guy in Milwaukee for another year, and then you hope that he's ready to go. I think it is funny that the conversation has kind of switched, though. A month ago at the end of the season, it was, is Yaroslav Askarov ready that the Preds could trade away UC Saros? Like, it was, is it Saros, is it Askarov? Now it feels like, especially after those two trades that we've seen, Saros is staying. Like, they're gonna work out a deal. Now the question is, do you think Askarov can come up and be the backup? I still think, give him one more year. Go find a backup that you feel solid about. Doesn't have to be a world beater or one of the best backups in the league, but just a guy you feel good about to go out there 20 to 25 games. And then next year, if Yaroslav Askarov isn't ready after this year to come up and be the backup.
Well, he needs a contract next year, too.
That is true. So, I didn't think about that.
That's going to be – this is a big summer and season for him coming up, because if he's not the same goalie we saw this year in Milwaukee, we've got problems, I think. And I'm saying if he looks drastically different, not like a little different, you know, his goals against average goes up a couple points. You
right.
know, I'm not saying that dramatically. But if we see him, you know – hey, he's not playing, they're pulling him from games more often, because down the stretch, you know, and Scott mentioned it in the conversation with Willie and Hal too, that they challenged that roster. They went a lot 11-7 this year with 11 forwards, 7 D-man, so you're relying more on your forwards to pick up that ice time. So that's intriguing to me, at least, that they are trying to pick on the idea of, okay, are we going to have enough guys to protect him next season? And like I said, a lot of the guys are probably returning to Milwaukee next year, and that's not the point of the conversation. It's about, can Askarov make the jump? And look, I even think at some point during the season, I'd like to see him make the jump. I think at some point in time, if the Predators opt no Kevin Lankinen in, and let's say they go get Laurent Brossoit or some goalie that, you know, might come in and sign a one-year contract, they could trade that goalie. You know, Kevin Lankinen was just as susceptible to trade conversations previously, where, hey, Kevin could have been traded the same year that they moved Niederreiter, Ekholm, and all those other guys. So he was right around that conversation too. So could that happen for the Predators? And then maybe Askarov comes up and, you know, plays well and then shows them why he can sign that next contract. So, and it's not going to be a terribly expensive one either, but now it's him getting up here. That's the main point.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you want to get in on the conversation, text or call. Our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Don't forget, today, 1025 The Game's Chase McCabe and Joe Dubin filling in for Stillman and Company will be broadcasting live from the Grove Golf Course from 3 to 6 p.m. with live updates on the LIV Golf Tournament, brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics. When we come back, we'll keep the conversation going on the Preds again. The draft is just 1 week away, and we could see some movement coming up in the next 7 days. Preds also have plenty of draft capital coming up in Las Vegas next weekend. We'll chat a little bit about Barry Trotz's offseason plans when we come back. Again, Forrest Company taking you from 9 to noon here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits this Sunday for coverage of the USA Today 301. Coverage will begin at 12:30 with the race starting at 1:30 p.m. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic Hits app and at 93.3ClassicHits.com. Fours Company in from 9 to noon today on 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Kieser, Nick Frazier in studio. Connor Newt, the greatest producer in the land, at least for these 3 hours, doing a great job behind the glass. Talking some Preds here in our first hour. Just talked about the goalie situation a little bit there and where Yaroslav Askarov might stand heading into the offseason. But the draft is 1 week away, guys. Again, crazy to think, considering we could have two more Stanley Cup Finals games before then. But 1 week away in Las Vegas, in the Sphere, over Friday and Saturday of next week. Preds picking 22nd in the first round, and then three picks in the second round. Lots of draft capital. Nick Kieser, obviously, a lot of these guys are 17, 18 years old, aren't going to make an immediate impact, but what are you hoping to see from Barry Trotz and the Preds as they head into draft weekend next week?
They're going to be aggressive, I feel like. There could be some trades. There could be, obviously, some signings before the first pick is on the board and on the clock. That would be interesting to me, kind of just what's the scuttlebutt beforehand, because last year we got a lot of, hey, is Barry Trotz really trying to trade Yaroslav Askarov to move up into the top five? And he got close, apparently. So I don't know if they're going to do the same type of approach this year out there in Vegas in the Sphere, which I'm ready for all the jokes, by the way, like Robbie said. Like, I'm really interested to see all the memes coming out of that for the Predators' sake, and I hope fans have fun with that, and I hope DJ Burnside, if you're listening, hope that you have fun making those memes. So I'm looking forward to all of that. But look, I think in the grand scheme of things, picking at 22, yeah, you're not going to, like you said, it's not going to be an immediate guy that comes in and you know, makes a big impact. Right now they've got a left winger. This is according to a Daily Faceoff. They have a left winger out of Dynamo in the KHL at 22. He's a 6'2" power forward. I'll try to say his name. Igor Chershnov, I don't know. Chershnov. I don't know how to say his last name. It's hard. I have to practice some of these names. But I think a defenseman could be going in the first round for the Predators if they keep that pick. That's my feeling. They need more right-hand shot defensemen. I think that's the way I would lean, at least. And one pick, if he is there, and there have been a lot of stories about this prospect recently. His name is Adam Jirček, I think is how you say his last name. He's from Czechia, and he was injured at the World Juniors. I remember seeing that, and he was a talked-about guy, and he's very skilled. He skates very well. His brother David actually plays for the Columbus Blue Jackets. He's an up-and-coming prospect as well over there and has played some NHL games and looks good. But 6'2" guy, he's 19, I think, or maybe 18, something like that. His birthday is in a good spot. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting for the Predators. But what would you guys kind of like to see the Predators attack? Would you want to see him trade up? Would you want him to stand pat or trade back? I mean, look, what's crazy is they have a lot of picks in the first three rounds. They've got six picks in the first three rounds. So that's crazy, in of itself.
Nick Frazier, I know we talked about this with all this draft capital. Yeah. They don't need all those picks.
They don't. They do not need all those picks. They just need to keep developing the core, solid core they have in Milwaukee, and maybe just trade those picks they have this year for maybe next year's draft. Maybe there's somebody else that's on their radar in the 2025 or 2026 draft. Like, maybe that's the it guy. I correct me if I'm wrong. There's not a big Connor Bedard or a Connor McDavid in this upcoming.
Well, Macklin Celebrini is going to go number one.
But yeah, after that, though, it's a drop-off, would you say?
I think so, a little bit. One prospect I think might go higher than what people think is, I don't know if you guys remember this name, there is Jerome Iginla from the Calgary Flames.
Yes.
His son, Tiege Iginla, is in the draft. And he was tearing it up this year as a 17-year-old. He was wild this year. I think he could go higher than what is projected. I think he's ranked in the top 10. Yeah, he's at number 8 from the board that I'm looking at right now. He's a scoring machine. So if the Preds want to trade up, I recommend if they go up, they got to pick up a forward. They do. And for the draft sake, by the way, for if you want to trade to next year quickly, they have two picks in the first three rounds next year too. So they're loaded.
Well, yeah, they have two for – you mean two in each round, right?
Two in each,
yeah,
yes.
Two first, yeah, two yeah. seconds, two thirds. And this year, a first 3 seconds and two thirds. So all the ammunition you need to go up in the draft and get up. If, and I think it does depend on, does Barry Trotz and his scouting department have a guy that they love this year? And if they don't, you can save that ammunition and move up next year. Maybe use it to go get an established NHL player.
Right.
But if there is a guy, like maybe it is Tiege Ginla, is that the
– yeah.
Maybe they love that guy. You move up to seven and maybe go get him or something like that.
I like
that.
Cole Iserman too. I think he would be a fun guy from the U.S. National Development Program. He had a good year, and I think he would be a great guy to watch for college too. There's tons of guys in college that had good seasons. Nothing crazy. You know, the Preds have a few guys that played in college that were drafted last year that didn't tear it up, but the Preds, they're taking flyers on some of these guys from last year. Very curious to see how the Preds view some of those picks from last year as well. Now, I don't know if there's an interested team in the top 10, maybe that would move back. You know, Ottawa's had a lot of talk lately about, hey, they might do something with a goaltender. They might acquire a goalie. You know, UC Saros has been part of a lot of trade conversations, guys. I don't know if at this point it's going to happen for him, but another goalie might be on the move. Columbus, I watched their press conference yesterday with Don Waddell. He was, you know, I don't want to say straight up, but he kind of beat around the bush of they could possibly trade out of their number four pick. That would be interesting to see a team in the top five move out. I don't know if that would be crazy before, but it might happen during the draft too.
I wouldn't move up if I'm the Predators. Not in the slightest.
Not even, okay, you don't want to move up at all until make the top 15, top 10?
No. I would rather, if we're going to trade picks, I'd rather package those picks and get an established forward. I feel like that's the move here. Why would I, like Dr. Crane said, there's no Connor Bedards out here. There's nothing... To put it in football terms, there's no Trevor Lawrence's here at the time. Not now. We'll get into that
just
later.
Just say Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick.
There you go.
Yeah, well,
there you go.
Sure.
Joe Burrow. Yeah.
Joe Burrow. There it is. Thank
That's
you.
A good one.
Yeah. There's no generational talents in this draft. Well, as of right now, we don't know yet, obviously. But there's just nothing that stands out to me. So, I mean, especially those second round picks, I would package those and try and see if you can get someone to bite at a future and, right. You know, take a, you know, maybe a Patrick Laine we talked about the other day. Maybe a Mitch Marner's probably out of the picture right now, but just to throw a name
Martin
out Natchez, there, we'll say, yeah.
One of those guys.
Natchez, for sure, yeah.
Yeah. I just, for me, like, when you have all these draft picks, I just think if you were to kind of package those and put them into the following year's draft, it just gives your guys in Milwaukee some extra time to – really know what you have down there with your true core.
Exactly.
That's just how I look at it. And then if they all decide to pan out, if they all actually develop the way that the Preds scouting department has seen them and the way they've scouted them for, and they end up playing for, you know, the top team in Nashville, then it's a success. Then you're able to be comfortable with the guys you're able to scout and draft that following draft with all these extra picks.
Especially with all these guys we need to see pan out. You know, Askarov and
Zach LaRue
for sure.
Svechkov is another
Svechkov, Kemmel. And then the guys that we've seen up here that haven't produced in the NHL level but can have shown they can.
They
like
have spurts of
yeah,
positive.
Like a Parsonen or maybe a Tomasino or someone like that. Spencer Stastny, I think, will be a day
he's
one
a lock.
Starter. Yeah, he's a lock.
Yeah, but he's a big lock. But you know, before we get into your notes segment, Connor, I want to hear from the Preds fans, 615-737-1025. What do you want to do in the draft? What do you hope the Preds will do next week? I'll be alongside for coverage next Friday, by the way. Super excited for that down there at Bridgestone Arena. So go check us out. I think Max Herz will be doing some work as well. Willie Donick will be down there. So going to be fun.
I'll be
fun
back
time.
Here producing
That's
that
right.
show, the draft night in Smashville.
Yeah.
So excited for that Friday night. And it feels like something big is coming for the Preds in the next week. Maybe not something big, but maybe a lot of other moves. I feel like Barry Trotz has something up his sleeve, and we're going to see what it is in the next 7 days. Quickly before we go to break, you mentioned Jerome Iginla, and it didn't feel like that long ago that he was in the league.
Yeah.
It was 7 years ago
that
he retired. But just to make another football reference here, did you guys see T.Y. Hilton's son committed to Wisconsin?
Yeah, I did see that.
Really?
It's weird seeing all these players we grew up with.
Well, yeah, like
have kids.
Frank Gore's son
Frank
was
Gore
in the draft
the
this year. He didn't get drafted.
Yeah, he was at Southern Miss, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I got to cover a few of his games back in college when he started out.
Yeah, so T.Y. Hilton's son going to Wisconsin. I know we're all in our 20s, so we can't feel that old, but like,
no.
I'm starting to feel old seeing all these.
The weirdest one is Bronny for me.
That is true.
I mean, LeBron has been playing in the NBA quite literally my entire life.
Yes.
So to see his son potentially get drafted, I'm not sure. I think someone will take a flyer, but to see that happen and potentially a father-son duo in the NBA is just blows my mind. I've only seen that in baseball, I feel like.
With the Griffies, I believe.
Yeah.
Yep, the Griffies.
They were before my time, too.
Yeah.
Rich Paul ruined my dream of the Suns getting LeBron on a veteran minimum. He said it's not happening. Tough.
Oh.
Tough. We'll talk a little bit of NBA later on the show with the news that J.J. Redick is going to be the Lakers head coach. That'll be in our third hour. When we come back, though, as Keezer teased, it's Newt's Notes time. First hour, last segment, it's always all about Connor Newt. So we'll get to that next here. For his company, 9 to noon, filling in for Chase and Big Joe, who will be out at the LIV Golf Tournament from 3 to 6. Make sure you tune in then as well. Again, Newt's Notes coming up next. For his company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Join us this July 4th at the 18th Annual Music City Hot Chicken Festival at East Park. It's a spectacular day packed with live music contests and, of course, hot chicken. It's free, so bring the whole family. Discover more at hotchickenfestival.com. Force Company with you from 9 to noon here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Keezer, Nick Frazier in studio. But it's that time. Time for Newt's Notes. Connor, the floor is yours.
Okay. So, a lot of times we come on this show and we get some heat because we're, quote, Vandy biased, we hate the Vols, whatever. I am here today to flip that narrative. I am going to defend the Tennessee Vols today.
As a Wildcat?
You can clap. Okay, so what's driving me crazy right now is Florida State. And I say this because, yes, it was a swing, 100%.
Yep.
If you don't know, you've probably been living under a rock. But Blake Burke, check swings. He clearly goes over the plate. We saw the replay, everything. Yeah. But they call it a ball.
It was a ball.
So Florida State does the Florida State thing and, you know, bitches and complains about it. But I'm here to say shut up. yes, it may have affected the outcome of that game and whatsoever, but it did not affect the outcome of that series as Florida State is making it out to be. They had their chance to, let's say, redeem themselves, and they blew it. They got blown out. They lost 7-2, right? Something like that?
Yeah.
So I'm here to say Florida State needs to get off the high horse. They've been doing this recently, you know, complaining when they don't get their way. They get snubbed from the college football playoff, maybe not rightfully, but, you know, they go undefeated and get snubbed. But they look defeated. They struggled against a terrible Louisville team that lost to Kentucky.
Yeah.
So they whine about that for months, and then they get beat by Tennessee off of one play, and it becomes the whole thing. They would have won the series if they would have called that strike. And I was like, no, that's not how this works. What I'm trying to say is your entire series is not dictated by one play. It's how you play. Let's just say that. So, I mean, I don't know what you guys are thinking, but that's where my head's at.
I'd say to a certain degree, right?
Yeah.
To a certain degree.
I mean, yes, was it a swing? For sure. But you still had the opportunity, like we said earlier this week, you still had the opportunity to go out and and get another strike and win the game.
Yeah.
Dylan Dreiling, he made the play that Florida State couldn't.
If you're that defeated by one game, go out and win the next one.
Yeah.
You didn't do that.
Umpires and referees never really decide a game, unless it is the last play of the game and they mess it up. There is always an opportunity for you to overcome a bad call. Florida State had the chance. They didn't. And then it wasn't even competitive the other day on Wednesday.
No, like, it was never close.
It wasn't close. Like, Tennessee had that thing wrapped up. It felt like after two innings. So
it was 3-0 after one inning, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's just where I'm just tired of. It's not just Florida State. It's a lot of fan bases around Hell, I do it sometimes. I complain. But
yes, you do.
Thanks, Keezer. I knew you'd be the one to say that.
Well, and hey, you did get a reaction, by the way. 5573 says, screw the swing. It was a strike. Ump missed the call before the appeal even mattered.
Yes. Yes, he did. And that's what I just said. But did that affect the outcome of the series?
Possibly, but we'll never know.
I wouldn't say so. I would say it affected the game, but game two, it's a fresh slate.
Yeah,
but
any call affects a game.
But then Florida State would have had the hey, we only have to win one.
That is true.
Like, Tennessee would have had to battle back, and they would have had to win back-to-back games against Florida State. Like, it was a big call, but Florida State had the opportunity to overcome it and didn't.
Yeah.
Like,
sure.
yes, Tennessee got a huge break, massive break. But it's not like that decided the game in that moment. Tennessee still had to bring in the game-winning run, and they did.
Four of them, to be
yeah,
exact.
Like, yeah, like, Florida State, yes, I understand. I feel your pain. It was a bad call. Don't give up four runs in the bottom of the ninth inning.
Yeah, yeah. It's simple as that. But to your point about if it was called a strike, which it wasn't, you know, and to Jake's point as well with the pitching, if that's called a strike, then that puts, you know, Tennessee behind the eight ball a little bit, where you're going to have to start using more of your arms. So does it really change the outcome of how that series would have played out? Sure, maybe, because you don't know how fatigued those arms could have been. But, yeah, I think that's kind of where you get your argument, is if, you know, those arms end up getting tired or not. But
this whole series is going to be reflected by that one call. And to their minds, and I guess to a lot of minds, but to me, and I say this as a, you know, I don't like the Vols. So this is why I'm defending you.
We're well aware.
You're a Cats guy. You got to, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. It's just, this bothers me. I don't understand why it's such a big thing. When you lost, move on. Deal with it. You'll be back next year. Florida State's a good program.
Yeah.
They're a great program. They've been there a lot. But, I mean, is what it is, man. Just shut up. Keep your head high. That toxic not toxic positive. I've been hanging out with Jared too much. Toxicity in fan bases, it just drives me crazy. And that's part of why I don't like Tennessee, is there's a lot of toxicity in that fan base. But this, I can't stand when a fan base decides, like, we got screwed, you know? It's just, well, accept your L.
If Tennessee goes on to win the national championship, Florida State fans can look at it as, hey, we lost to the national champion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how
that
I would
ease, that would ease my pain.
Yeah, that's how I would look at it.
Well, and apparently 2409 says, Texas A&M is America's team this weekend. We're all part of a weird cult.
Amen.
I have seen a lot of Vandy fans saying, like, where do I sign up for the cult? Like,
I saw a map earlier, and it said it was middle to West Tennessee was filled out in orange, and then West Texas was filled out in maroon, and the rest was just bright red, and it said Rapture.
Oh, man.
I do feel for Florida State fans, though, Connor, because what happened for the college football playoff, if they weren't going to 12 teams this year, it wouldn't have happened. I know the committee wouldn't have wanted to set the precedent that if you go undefeated and win your conference championship, that you don't get in, if they were staying at four teams. But because they're going to 12 and it doesn't matter anymore, they were like, you know what? We'll throw Alabama
SEC.
In there.
SEC. Yeah.
It stinks for Florida State because they deserve to get in. You win 13 games. I don't care that Jordan Travis was hurt. They went 13-0 in a major conference. They deserve to get in. But because they weren't setting a precedent, there was no precedent to set because everything's changing, the committee said, you know what? Let's throw Alabama in there.
Strength of schedule matters to me. And, yeah, that's kind of the place of my rant is just, don't be toxic, man. Just take your L. Just be okay with losing. But, Nick Keezer, I think you got a little something for
us,
don't you?
Yes, quickly to Nick Keezer.
Yeah, I got a text in the text line, and then I went and checked on this. Fox 9 Sports up in Minnesota is saying that longtime assistant coach Darby Hendrickson is joining the Nashville Predators as an assistant to his old pal, Andrew Brunette. So it sounds like we could have a new assistant coach in town. I'll have to check on that to see what we've got. We could have that confirmed during our show.
Dan Hinote replacement?
Exactly. So Dan Hinote was let go by the Nashville Predators. His contract was not renewed for the following season. Darby Hendrickson was with the Wild for a while as well, and he was also not brought back for the same reasons. And so I'm curious to see what this looks like for the Predators. What will he be aware of? It looks to me like he helped run up plays during timeouts. So that could be indicative of, you know, hey, we're trying to win a game late. Probably some special teams as well, because that's what Dan did. So could they have found their replacement? I think we'll know here soon. So, yeah.
We will continue to monitor that as we roll along here on the show. 1 hour down. Connor, thank you for Newt's Notes. Always great to hear the rants from Connor behind the glass. When we come back, we're going to have some fun. We got a little game to play here in hour number two. Who is the best offense? Who can create the best offense in the NFL? We're going to do a little draft.
You're going to get the smoke. You're going to get smoked.
We're going to go around the room. Everybody's going to pick a quarterback, a running back, a wide receiver duo, and a tight end. We're going to go snake draft, and we'll see. We'll let the fans decide who has the best offense.
The People's Show today.
Yes, the People's Show, Force Company, in for Chase and Big Joe, but not really, in their time slot. Chase and Big Joe, they will be later on, 3 to 6, over at the LIV Golf Tournament at the Grove, so make sure to tune in for that as well. So again, we're going to have some fun. Do a little NFL offense draft coming up in hour number two. Force Company, here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.